would you like to know more? Would you like to know more?
Welcome to the War Master Podcast, episode 86, with Paul and Barry. This week's episode is going to be about BonesCon. We did record part of an episode on the way to BonesCon, where we were planning on doing part BonesCon and part War the Lisbon Army Review, Revolution Edition. But the BonesCon got out of hand, and we've got more than an hour of content just for that alone. So I didn't have time to edit through and try and pull out all the bits at the beginning that were mentioned in the Lisbon. So when you're listening to the next bit, which is going to talk about maybe episode 86, Lisbon Review, just kind of ignore that. That's going to be episode 87 now. So it's going to be a bit messy to start with, but once it gets into the BonesCon meat and two veg, then everything should make sense. And we will record another episode over this weekend coming, which is the 24th of February, and that will be released next Friday, and that will be episode 87, the Lisbon Army Review Revolution Edition. Okay, hope that makes sense, and enjoy the episode.
Hello, listeners, so I'll start this.
You can't sound like that. You have to say, welcome to the War Master Podcast, episode 86, with Paul and Barry.
Okay, fair enough then, I stand corrected. So, we're on our way to BonesCon.
BonesCon.
And today's episode is going to be about...
Is it a swinging dude then, is it? Swingers.
BonesCon. That's what it's been nicknamed.
By your wife.
Yeah.
Did she pack you like... No, remember to take protection.
No, I hope not. Right, so episode 86, and it's the Lisbon Army Review. So,
Revolution Edition.
But what we're recording right now is we're on the... It's very early Friday morning, and we're on the way to BonesCon, which is in Birmingham, which is mid of the country, if you don't know where that is.
We had to get up so early that I didn't ever really go to sleep.
No, neither did I, really.
And like, I woke up without the use of an alarm at 4:30, which is bad.
Yeah, this is going to be a long day.
Which is why I said don't do the social on the Friday, because I'm normally on Friday.
I agree with you.
Saturday I'm a bit better.
When we record again next, we'll record on the way home, we'll do the review and like how we went, but I thought we might just record a little preamble now to get in history of what we're expecting from this convention.
I'm expecting pretty similar to previous conventions. This is number 6, but it may be a little bit smaller than previous conventions. So I think at its pinnacle, it got to 600 before the Mark III debacle of 2000.
Because it was always tied with War Machine.
Yeah, so at the beginning of 2016, when big things were being talked of, but nobody knew what the big things being talked of were in February 2016. But it turned out the big things being talked of were not very good for the game.
I don't think you can still buy the Hydra. Can you even get it now?
I don't know if it ever
come out.
Print.
Yeah.
But there were some problems with the way it was designed.
Yeah,
I think it did come out, but it was a bit of a problematic kit.
Yeah.
So we were laughing on the way here that the new big release for War Machine.
It's worth it. Yeah, so it's this it's a Warcaster, Pirate Queen Scar, but she's on half a ship, essentially.
Yeah, the back bit of a ship, what's that? The bow or the stern or whatever.
The model is massive.
Massive.
Like, it's in mass, it's like three times the size of a Colossal. Like, in terms of sheer mass. You know, like, as a picture show. And it looks that way, and it's like, well, and the price of it as well is just $125. It's like,
well, the $125 in itself isn't the deal breaker, because lots of models have been that much or more. But if you got them in the UK, normally you could get like 10% off retail, and then there'd be an exchange rate, blah 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 blah. So maybe you'd pay. I think people paid really about £90-95 cash sterling for the model.
Uh-huh.
But the big change is now that you can't buy these models in Europe anymore, and you have to buy them from the US and get them fucking imported.
Oh, it's just
directly.
The cost of it just is ridiculous.
So if and I fully expect the rules for this model to be totally fucking bent. So if this model's good and you want to play competitively, You're going to have to front up the best part of £170 to get this model.
I know, and it's... In a sense, if that doesn't show Privateer Press's intention about Europe, I don't know what else does, really.
But that's like, what to say.
Yeah, yeah, they're,
I
not
mean,
as interested.
Even if I was a retailer and wanted to stock it, I can't.
Yeah.
Because it's not available for retailers. You can only buy it as a punter direct from Privateer Press in America.
Yep.
It's fucking bonkers. I've never seen anything like that.
Yeah.
But it is what it is. I mean, how does it work in Forge World? If you bought from Forge World and you were like in the US, it must be the same deal for them. You must have to pay Forge World's crazy prices from GW.
Yeah.
Then you'd have to pay customs, because that's nothing to do with GW.
Unless, I don't know, I guess.
And then you have to pay postage. So it's probably the same deal. If you wanted some fucking crazy Titan that's £1,200. You probably still have to pay all the craziness on top
of
it.
Yeah, I suppose so. Mentally. Yeah. Anyway, so the folly of Privateer Press at the moment. So we're on the way to BonesCon. So we'll just recap. Like, we're both on the staff. So, like, Barry, what's your job going to be at BonesCon?
I'm a pit boss. So, like, a casual play boss on the day shift.
Yep, which is the 9 to 5 hours, we think.
Yeah. So that's where everybody plays games that aren't doing competitive gaming.
Yep.
And that's generally where most people hang out for the weekend.
Yeah.
Generally.
Well, there's only two rooms, and it's the bigger room.
Yeah.
Yeah. Myself, I was prize support. So we are in a car full of prize support, which I've managed to gather. So that's my part of the job done. So once it's all delivered to the right place, then that's, as far as I'm concerned, my job's done.
Yeah, like, sounds a lot easier than mine, but you did have a lot of work.
Bang on, like, how did it all come from nowhere?
I didn't say it.
Yeah, like,
we have got a lot of prize support, which is one of Paul's strengths is his persistence and his thick skinnedness.
So
we got a lot of prize support, that's good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then what I'll be doing is. I could play in some events. That's the thing. I've taken a few options because I'm like, hang on, what if those events? Because I haven't got a physical ticket. What if those events are? Those tournaments are full. I
can't play.
But what if they are? I don't know.
There's like three masters, three separate.
Yeah.
Or something.
Anyway, by the time we get there, I wouldn't be able to. I won't have the energy to join in with one that starts at like 9 a.m. So it looks like a Guild Ball one that starts about midday. I might play in.
The bigger problem is if you want to do the big competitive War Machine event, you've got to sign up to a lot of bastard rounds. You start this morning at like
nine.
And you finish like 10 o'clock tonight.
I know, it's like I can't see myself. I couldn't see myself seeing, unless I was winning all the time, I couldn't see myself doing that. You know, it's like I'd probably drop anyway.
So, most people do drop.
So I guess around that I will play casual games, you know, like with friends of ours who are going to be there, or against other randomers who like if that's the like the scene. Because you don't really know what to expect with this, to be honest. But also the hotel, we've got two nights in this hotel. It's got some really nice facilities as well, so that's always an option to do. It's like, you know, which would be quite
so
nice.
It had a really weird restaurant. I think they closed the restaurant and reopened it as a, is it like a steak and lobster place? So it's like £20, and you either have steak or lobster and unlimited fries.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't like, the steak was a bit wang and the lobster was horrible. So, I think there was like boiled lobster that then they put on a griddle.
But there's places away from hotel.
Much better. So the event's going to be good. I brought some board games with me.
Yeah, so have I. Yeah, that's probably going to be the highlight of it, actually, is hanging out with friends and with some beer and playing some board games as well, actually. Okay. You know, like, and what's quite nice is the group of people we're going up there, that we're meeting there, you know, are there for the same reasons as well.
Okay. So, we're going to try God Tier.
Yes, God Tier Alpha. Like, let it be demoed to me. Anyway, we will come back to you on Sunday with how it all went and go through the Elizabeth Arnold movie.
Do you want to talk about the week in Paul's world before you go?
I can do. Yeah.
Because I ain't got much, mate.
Oh, we'll do that bit now.
Just keep this bit short, yeah? This
keep
is
a
bit the kills that get. Can you get to the fucking point? Stop blithering on about
right.
painting this model blue again. I've been doing some painting.
So I haven't been up to much because I've been, my spare time has been tracking down prize support and also getting my revalidation done for nursing.
And going to the Northlands.
And going to the North, which is Liverpool.
Yeah.
Which is all done. So this is the reward, essentially, like for my birthday reward, like is to go to this convention. But I have been painting some Lizardmen, basing them up. So not because of the podcast, just coincidentally, that was the project I've started. And I found a technique that seems to look all right for the basing. I wanted to do jungle basing, but I think if someone knows how to do it at 10 mil scale, share it with me, because I could not think of a way how to get the effect looking like a jungle base. So I've mixed a couple of flocks together instead to give it like a threat, and then put some tufts on there to give a three different tone on the bases, which seems to work well for War Master bases. Three effects on the base seems right. Anyway, but I did play some Necromunda last night against Anthony, using
Anthony, not Adam.
Anthony.
I said Adam last night.
No, it wasn't. It was Anthony. We tried out Clarkie's new scenery for that. You know, the build stuff. The walls that go on the on the table, which was really nice actually. The table, even though it was unpainted, it looked really good, and I quite enjoyed the game of Necromunda. It's clear that the two get starting ganks, the Goliath, are way better than the Escher. But unless we were misinterpreting the rules, they just seem to be quite a bit better than the Escher, because the Eschers like use gas and that affects toughness, and Goliath have high toughness.
Oh.
So they're like, it's like, it doesn't end well. It doesn't end well for Escher. Yeah. But the game was great fun, and in that the new Necromunda format is really good. So I'm picking up the new Orlok gang. It'll be my gang I'll paint and use. And
they're not your boys, are they?
They're gonna turn up last, sadly. So they could be ages off.
Right.
So I'll get, because they're not expensive. These gangs aren't expensive, so I'm picking up, and you don't have many.
It's like 20 quid a box or something.
That's right, of 10. And you're probably going to start off with only like 6 or 8.
There's no Juves now?
There is Juves, but there's no obviously telling who's a Juve and who's not.
Right, and no heavies?
No, they're just packing. I think weapons you'd categorise more as special weapons.
Okay.
Yeah, but unique stuff. Orlok pack a harpoon gun. Yeah, don't know why, but they do. Yeah,
for fishing, obviously.
And then once I've painted that Orlok gang, I can work on the scenery, because in this environment with these bulkheads put into it, it does look really nice. And when it was all, if it were all finished, it would look fantastic. I just really like the look of it, because then there's no. I do like good scenery on a game.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah. Okay, so that was really what's been going on in my world.
Exciting. Very small ball. So what did I do? Monday was Modern Magic. That was all right. Although my Infect deck is getting worse and worse as the world moves against it. But that's magic for you. So this really, really expensive deck that I've built up over years is becoming worse and worse. And kind of less and less playable as the metagame moves against it. Metagame's an interesting thing. We've talked about that in the past. But, what I said, I went up to the Northlands. That was good. I went down to coal mine.
Why did you choose to do that?
Because my northern family...
The Pitmans?
The Pitmans. No, not the Pitmans. The other side, the Holdens.
All right.
They were miners.
Oh, okay.
My granddad was a miner. He died of emphysema before he was 60 and stuff. So, we went down a coal mine. It was quite interesting, man. Because kids got no fucking concept of what like hard labour used to be. Exactly. So then they were talking about the Victorian times and how you work 6 days a week for 12 hours a day, and it was all piecework. So you worked as a family.
Yeah.
So the winters would work, and whatever coal they managed to get out with their bare hands and a pick or whatever, they'd get paid for. And if they didn't get any fucking coal out, they wouldn't get any pay.
Nice.
And they had to pay for all their own shit, so they had to bring their own candles and tools and stuff.
Yeah.
And you think somebody was getting rich out of this, and it ain't the people digging the coal.
People digging the coal.
It's like,
The guy at the top going, looking out with a cigar.
So they were saying, the kid would have to keep a door closed.
and basically sit in complete pitch darkness for 60 hours a week. I'd just open the door when they needed to bring the coal out, and the kids were like, Jesus, man, it was like 60 hours a week in the pitch black. And they showed them, they like turned all the lights out, because you had like a miner's lamp, because you were in a proper coal mine. So you turned out the miner's lamp, and it is like fucking dark. I don't know if you've ever been in like a deep cave.
No, a deep cave, I suppose.
No lights.
Yeah, it's really, it's
Jesus, it's dark,
yeah,
man.
So, the people like really pale then? Were they like not getting any sunlight?
No, because I don't know about the Victorian times. Like, there's no interviews with them. Yeah. Nobody gave a shit what they thought, did they? They were just peasants.
Peasants?
So it was an interesting day out. And as you've said, like the north is cheap.
Yeah.
So this was like cheap.
Yeah.
If this was down south, this would be like £40 a ticket, but it's like,
what are they? A bit of gum and a stick.
Yeah,
I got you in.
It was a £4 donation.
Yeah.
And it was like the tour was with an actual coal miner.
Yeah.
So not some fucking actor pretending to be a coal miner, like a proper coal miner who used to be a coal miner until there were no coal mines.
Yeah.
So, it was a good day. That was the most exciting thing I did up north. And I drove back yesterday, and I'm driving again today.
Yeah, sadly. But at least we're almost there.
We are. We're about 50 minutes away or something.
Yeah.
So that was the week in Nothingland. and we're gonna come back. We're gonna do the KR sponsorship, and then we're gonna get on with the other stuff.
Yeah.
Attention! If you need to get your miniatures safely from point A to point B, then get yourself a KR multicase. KR multi-cases come in all manner of different shapes and sizes, and have gamer-friendly pricing. So do yourself a favour and get yourself a KR multi-case today! Soft foam, hard cases.
Okay, so we're back in the room after BonesCon. BonerCon, and it is Sunday night, 6:30.
Yep.
Paul's got convention cough, I believe, is the correct term.
I don't know why my voice is cracking, because I wasn't talking that much.
It's just the dry air.
Maybe because I had to be louder.
Surely.
My voice is a bit shit.
Yeah. Turning it up to 11.
Yep.
So we're going to talk a little bit about what the convention was, what we did, what we didn't do. And then we'll record another section for another topic. But so Paul, with your best non-croaky voice, what happened over your BonerCon?
BonerCon? Damn well, wet my britches.
This was meant to be the last ever BonerCon fire sale clear out, but it looks like we were going to have another one next year.
Yeah, it does. So I was asked to bring on the prize support, which I did. And it was all. So we got up incredibly early on Friday morning to get up here to Birmingham, which was about a 2.5-3 hour drive away.
Yep.
But we got there, luckily, no traffic.
It helps being early. No traffic.
And so we got into the venue and we got all the stuff to the place on time. So there we go. Their inheritance, really, my kind of job, so to speak, was ended. That was what I was asked to do, and that's what I delivered.
Yeah.
I'd help Barry if he needed me, because he's my friend. You know, I'm sharing the room with him, and around that I would play games. I had the intention I could sign up to events and go from there.
You planned playing events?
I did. Well, the thing is,
you brought my storyboard, who didn't see the light of day.
No, I used them.
Did you?
Well, let me talk.
Oh, okay, fine.
So I started off on the Friday. I'll play Guild Ball. That had an hour later start. So I played. I went and joined in with the standard Guild Ball event, the only one that I think it was running, because they couldn't do the snake draft because they'd forgotten the models for it.
What's this?
So there was meant to be a snake draft.
Snake
draft.
Like snake.
Which I'm told is a format where you, a bit like a magic draft, where you have a bunch of players and you take one at a time to draw a player, and that's who you're going to use. And they supply the players.
Oh, excellent. Okay.
Which would have been really quite interesting. But it didn't happen because the organisers forgot the players.
It does happen. Those things happen sometimes.
Anyway, and I play in the first game. I get drawn in the first game against Dan Harwood.
Handsome Dan.
And I was like, he's the guy from our club, he's the guy that wins all the time.
He won two events this weekend.
He won two events, including the one, so spoiler alert, including the one I was playing in, so it wasn't me. But and I was thought, well, he's probably going to steamroller me, you know, like, very easily. I'm not that good at Guildball. But actually, it was good. Like, you know, he was, I don't know if he was off form or something, because it seemed to be a much closer game than I thought it was going to be. Like, I held my own. So, but obviously you don't beat Dan Harwood, so he beat me. Each of the times I was like, well, I can drop from these events. I'm not so precious about the events that I need to see them, because they're long events. You know,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, they are like till 8 at night. And it's like, with the organised play things, it's, you don't actually get that many games in. You get like 4 games in. And if you're playing casually, you can play a lot more games. You know.
True.
But I did hang around to do the second round. And what happened there? Oh yeah, it was a real grinder of a game. You know, like I ended up having to win by all takeouts. You know, on that one, and my opponent ran out of time as well. So, you know, I enjoyed the game. It was a real nice guy. Yeah, that was fun. But then afterwards, I was like, even though I'd won that last game, I dropped out because they were like, I was just knackered, basically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Getting up at crazy o'clock doesn't help.
No, I mean, given like, what would I do differently? I don't know, if it has to be done, it has to be, but I'd rather have come up the night before, you know, because I was really tired, you know, like on the Friday then.
Yep, true that.
Because it wasn't just the early start, I barely slept the night before because I was worried about getting up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and not making any noise, not waking my daughter, etc., etc. Anyway, here are the other guys, our friends that left early on the left after work on the Thursday, got detoured on the M1, like, and took their journey to like 4 or 5 hours.
Or 6 hours.
Or something like that. Yeah.
6 hours. And it took us two and three quarters.
Yeah, yeah. So
double the distance.
Yeah, you know, they only rolled in at like half midnight or something.
They paid a big price for trying to go on Thursday.
Yeah, exactly. So okay, so and then what I actually did is, because I went and then our room was unlocked to us at 3 in the afternoon, so I went and got all my stuff in the room, and actually I remembered something, you know, the army taught me. It was when you're really tired, go exercise. That's what gives you energy.
Sounds fucking nuts to me.
So I actually went into the gym.
Yeah, of course you did. I'll do myself an injury if I go too fucking tired. I'll fucking be one of those guys that kills himself on a rowing machine by getting garrotted by the...
Right, okay, well...
Because I'm clumsy enough when I'm fucking tired.
That's not the idea of a rowing machine, Barry. Like, you're meant to sit in it and row.
Yeah.
But, okay, you're a bit special. Right, okay, so what I did was because the hotel is a Hilton. No, I think, to be honest, I think it was a 5-star hotel a long time ago.
Yeah, 4-star at best.
Yeah, 4-star at best.
I would have said, really.
Yeah, it's like very...
And only 4-star because they jumped through the hoops to call themselves a 4-star.
Yeah,
so you have to have X, Y, and Z, whatever they are.
Yeah, you know, it's basically the aesthetics of the hotel were bad. And like, you know, outside it looked just shabby.
Tired.
Yeah. So, but it did have a a gym, a sauna, a jacuzzi, a swimming pool, a steam room. And I was like, well, I'm going to go use that then. Like, why not? It's not like, I don't get the chance to go for a swim that often or go use a sauna.
Yeah.
So I went and hit the gym, and then I rotated around all the different things you could do. And it was nice. And I came back from that refreshed and unable to stay up the rest of the day.
Yeah, ready for the evening session. So, because then we went out together. So during the day, it was just like basically setting up the prize pool for me.
Yeah.
We had the world's biggest amount of prize support. Like, I know I often say, oh, we had a fucking load of prize support. Well, really, really, we had a lot of prize support.
Thank you.
Not just from you.
No, not just from me.
We had a lot of prize
support. I mean, the companies that were there retailing, Battlefoam gave a lot.
Yeah, they probably put £1,000 worth of bags in.
Yeah,
realistically, it was a lot. And that later in the event, that did cause its own issues, because obviously when you start giving people £300 prizes, people get a bit fucking antsy about trying to win it.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, the human nature.
I mean, the thing with the trading of, like, basically you'd play your games, you'd have a marked a stamp for those hours, and then you get one per hour.
because that was on the convention sheet, and then the top prizes were geared to go on the Sunday.
A Sunday lunchtime, like, yeah. 12 o'clock
but
today.
But the problem is the system was well open to abuse.
Of course.
I mean, it's
an honesty-based system.
It's an honesty-based system.
Yeah.
And some people like that honest. Yeah, like, so I'm sure some people...
We found ways to curtail any of the worst excesses.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, it's a bit silly if like lots of people try to claim a prize at the same moment in time. So then we had to do things like make them dice off, and the winner of the dice roll got the prize, and the other person
which
didn't.
Is the
there is no other way to do it.
No,
unless you can have them fight, physically beat them each, and the winner stands.
So you know, completely, it was like, well. Yeah, I'm not saying it wasn't a great system, but I can't think of a better one.
It's taken 7 years to perfect. So I promise you it's been better every year, and this was the best prize pool and the best system we had.
Yeah.
It wasn't perfect, but nothing ever is.
Like, you cannot say it was, but the guy that won the biggest Battlefront prize, probably, it's a retail, it's probably about £300.
Yeah.
And he won it on a dice roll.
He did?
Like,
I'll save that for my Sunday story, because that's a good Sunday story. So, Friday, we were down on staff numbers for one reason or another, not least of that it's difficult to get volunteers to work for free.
Of course it is.
You have to be a special kind of snowflake,
like me,
willing to work for free for a whole weekend.
Yeah.
And then we went out on Sunday night, on Friday night. Where did we go Friday night? GBH.
But basically, this place was a little strange, because it's close to the NEC, National Exposition Centre, which is huge.
Really silly.
When I wandered in there to get lunch, it had some of the halls open, and they are massive. I think bigger than, football pitches.
Oh, they're fucking giant. This place is massive.
Yeah. It's like one of these things where, it could be bigger. It's not. I don't think it could be bigger. It's like even American style levels of big. Yeah. So it's like that's a long way.
Well, we're in a hotel that feeds this, but also has its own conference facilities.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's quite a new shopping precinct and. Eateries, cinema and stuff. They all look quite new. So we went both nights. We went over to there and we ate in Gourmet Burger Kitchen.
Which is an interesting place if you haven't been before. I wouldn't go if you don't like burgers, but my burger was decent.
Yeah, and the way that you have to pay for your food up at the till.
It's very
very Nando's.
Very war gamer friendly.
Yeah.
You don't want to, there's no bill splitting or anything, so.
Sure.
So Paul was just asking if it's the right way. I'm not renowned for my, but I drive this route a lot because I go up north. And I've probably got the wrong way now, and it's probably going to be right. But so we went to GBH.
Yep.
We came back, had some beers.
Yep. And played Spartacus.
Oh, blood and sand and oil and piss. which was my first time playing. I've seen it play a few times, and it seems quite rowdy and raucous. Definitely an adult flavoured board game. We played five or six players.
Six
players. And it did feel like that game was never ending, so I tried to do everything I could to get the game ended, because it was like 11:30 or something.
Of course.
Like, just let's get this done. But it was a good game.
Yeah, no, it's, and for a board game, I think it is one of the best, because it's my kind of, it's my kind of spirit board game. You don't need to know the TV series at all, but I really enjoyed the TV series.
Right.
And basically, it's got some very good mechanics in it. It's adult. It's generally R18 style game. Like, some of the cards are
risque.
By the way, Cards Against Humanity is risque.
Reaction cock block.
It's one of the few games where if the all go against the one can still do things.
Well, like, you had to, because we all want to get through from the outset. Aaron was getting, don't click on Paul. Don't worry about Paul. Don't worry about Paul.
But I think the highlight of it was the getting ganged up on in the arena in the 2-1 or the 2-2 arena fight. So I had to fight with a slave on my team, but my gladiator beat them all. He was the 5 defense gladiator.
He was with armor.
Auto wounding back.
With armor.
Yeah.
He was good. He was good. But what can I say? He was good. Because you used the net to go first, and then you dinged the guy up, and then he never recovered.
And he attacked me, and then I dinged him back up on the return because I rolled really well.
Could never recover. That was a good game. That was that was my favourite game of the weekend. It could well have been. Although I would be wary trying to play big multiplayer games.
Oh god, it's not meant for that. I mean, it's like the game is meant to be for up to four people. It's just you can play it with more. Why not? It's funny.
You can. It did feel like it was never going to end.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, and that was the end. We went to bed about midnight-ish. Had to be up about 7:30, but I overslept because I forgot to set an alarm, so I went to bed about 8-ish and back on duty at 8:30, so
yeah,
I mean 8s, and then Paul did stuff on Saturday and I didn't work.
So on the Saturday I was like, right, so I played Guild Ball yesterday, I'd brought War Machine as well, let's tick the boxes. And so I could have joined in the War Machine Masters, there was space, so the big War Machine event, but to be honest I was like, well, all my friends are in the other room. And actually, because once I got like a casual game organised, I was like, against Dave Ricketts, I was like, I think I'd rather do that, you know.
Oh, those are Dave.
So,
Never lucky Dave.
Yeah, never lucky Dave Ricketts. So I actually pulled myself out of the event before it even began. I was like, actually, I'm going to be doing my own thing instead. And I think, because by doing that, I played more games, like in the day overall. So I played Dave Ricketts' two games of War Machine, where he like
stormballed this game.
I used both my lists against the list he wanted to try out.
Yep.
And basically, everyone must know a guy like this, somebody who complains a lot about dice and luck. Yeah. Everybody would know.
I know several people like this, but yeah, he's a very good example.
A very good, and like in the first game, like the way War Machine is, you know, he'd chosen a very hard skewed retribution list, which is like almost, you could say, almost negative play in a sense, because it's either gonna assassinate you or not able to. Like it has no like not, you know, it's all designed at the checkmate kind of move.
Alpha Strike, we like to call it.
Alpha Strike.
Yeah.
But it's what it is. One of my lists did not have much game in it at all, and Dave beat me. The second game, I had a more similar Signar list, and I attempted to like knock his Warcaster out. Did quite a bit of work, but was high odds and failed. And then in the return, he just failed to hit Michael Warcaster with a lot of dice that, yes, should have hit, but he never managed to roll an 11 on three dice. Like,
I said he only needed a 10.
So, but he got really, like, you know, irate about it. And I'm doing nothing. I'm just like, here I am, I've fired my load, you know, like, if you kill me, great. If not, I'll get you back again. It's like, there's nothing to be done. You know, I've fired my bullet, so to speak. Yeah, it was all. Yeah.
But was he automatically dead if you didn't?
Basically, with Kane 3, because he's Def 17 and Armour 13, and the way focus is now, there's no point tapping him. He won't live if he's hit. If Dave has some way to knock me down, or if Dave has some way to consistently land two hits, having some focus won't matter. Like, because I needed to spend it anyway to attempt to do my part
to
win the game, because you've got to try and win the game, haven't you? And just like Dave got really irate, and I was like, well, I'm just sitting here letting him roll dice and watching him fail. What can I go?
What can I do?
And I was like, well, I'm not going to apologise or anything. I'm just going to sit here.
He did win game one as well.
Yeah,
you remember that he won game one.
What was funny though is after he'd done it, like as in he'd, and then I'd won, is he told me a couple of hours later that he'd forgotten some rule which would have helped him with one of the damage dice or something. And I was like, Dave, it's a casual game that was finished 2 hours ago. Like, what does it matter? You know, like,
it's real.
Yeah, it's like, it doesn't, like, if you want to believe in your head that you won that, fine, it doesn't bother me. Like, it's just quite random. It's like, why are you telling me? Like,
I don't know.
Yeah. So I played that.
I don't mean to, because I don't know him that well. But I don't know who he spends his time, his free time with. Does he just play events? Because I never really see him out and about eating or.
Yeah, I mean, he'd be welcome to. I got a lot of time for him. He's just got this, you know, renowned for it. You know?
Okay.
Anyway, I did that. I played Dave Downs. Played him at Guildball. Sorry, War Machine as well. And he won that as well. So like, yeah. But it was good. It was a good game. It was always fun playing Dave. And I also played Phil Yules at Warmaster, the game of Warmaster I got to play over the convention.
Yep.
And I can honestly say, I mean, I know we're going to be biased, blah blah blah, but to me, as in, you know, you can take away the board games, there's something else. But in terms of a war game, that Warmaster game I played against Phil was much better. I enjoyed a lot more than anything else I played. Because
what was the game? What was the game?
I used my Chaos Dwarves, which I'd, you know, gotten done for the first time.
Yeah.
And he played a Knight Heavy Bretonnian list.
Okay.
So he had seven break points.
Seven?
No, was it seven?
No, it's five.
No, sorry, seven units of knights. Two Pegasus knights.
No Grail.
Yeah, you know, like no Grail knights. And then, you know, a big, you know, like a knight heavy army. And a table that didn't have a lot of scenery on it. And against my Chaos Dwarf list, which is literally the Chaos Dwarves when I bought from third party, like, companies, the units I could make from the models.
Yeah.
So it's not been chosen to be like an optimal list. It was like, okay, because some of the units, like, I haven't made, you know, because I couldn't find a right model that I like to make like a hobgoblin warrior list, like, you know, infantry.
Slave goblins.
Yeah, like slave hobgoblins.
Yeah.
So.
Slob goblins.
Anyway, great game, big back and forth. I'm surprised I managed to win. I was like, but with Bretonnians, the fact that they always have to pursue is quite a negative.
Yeah, definitely.
And I noticed it in this game. I was like, he's having to chase into combats where he might have wanted to back off, but he has to chase. And because my Chaos Dwarf list only has two units of Bull Centaurs, which are expensive cavalry, 150 point cavalry, and a unit of Wolf Riders. Which I was really pleased how I used that. Hid them behind some scenery and caused some negative. Basically, they just got annoying. They did exactly what they're supposed to do, like give him command debuffs. And
but not only do they have to charge, I think they have to pursue in advance and all of
them. Yeah, in advance. So his knight units, when I cut through his lines, like I was looking for, you know, make fights really one way that I don't lose much killing the peasants and stuff. But he was, to begin with, he was owning me, like, you know, like he was dictating the game. I was definitely on the, I wasn't on the initiative. But the knights then had to pursue in advance of things, and that draws them into them when I can kill them. So it was, you know, even though, like, on the face of it, you think that's a good Bretonnian list, it does have its drawbacks, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very similar list I thought in the Triwizard final, but I think he had nine. What's that? Seven. You said he had seven.
Seven units of knights and two Pegasus knights.
Sorry, and so the other guy had a couple of Grail knights as well. But with Lizardmen, I could shut down the Grail knights for the game because with your Doom and Despair spell. And then I could make his knights have to charge my blocks of Saurus.
Yeah, and they're not going to come away from that.
And they keep fighting the Saurus. They just keep cutting. Yeah, and then they're held, and then you can hit them in the flank with the Saurus Gam, and that's it.
Yeah.
You can really dictate how they fight.
Yeah.
You can use, like, a skeleton ship to make them charge. You can use mirage units if you've got, like, units
the
that
perfect,
don't even exist. There's so many tricks you can play on them.
Yeah.
As good as they are, they have a really big Achilles heel.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, that was... And then what else did I do that day? Then it was turnaround time, like get ready for going out to dinner, and then we went to this. I quite liked it. I liked the venue.
I played God Tier before I went out. Did we play God Tier that
night? Did we play God Tier? I didn't play God Tier. Around, I also played some casual games of learning God Tier, both on the Friday and the Saturday.
I can't remember which day I played God Tier. I thought it was Saturday. I put it before we went out, or maybe Friday night.
Did we play them when we got back?
I
can't remember, but I know that I'm renowned for disliking elves. And, it was a very early. I think it's like an alpha. It's an alpha game at the moment, so it's very fluid.
Yeah.
But this elf, even after several nerfs during the event, was still dominating the fucking event.
Yeah, I mean, the game of God Tier. Sorry, I also played Dave at God Tier.
Yeah.
And the game.
I played, didn't I?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you played Phil.
I played Phil. Sorry.
Yeah, we must have done that before dinner.
I can't remember which day it was. But...
Anyway, before the game against Dave of God Tier, I'm learning this thing. The elf just dominated it. I couldn't hit the elf. You know, it's far too hard to hit. You know, and he's just killing everything.
Like champions are really difficult to kill unless you are the elf, and then the elf just ruins
shoots
them.
You.
Dead. Get away. Anyway, maybe I don't want to badmouth it too much. The game was a very interesting
because it's not showcasing itself as finished.
No.
Yeah, it's not. No, it's an alpha.
It's a very strange concept. You have a champion, which is a 3-up miniature in effect.
Yeah.
So it's a massive fucking scale, like 58 mil or something crazy.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And then they have a unit of smaller versions of themselves who then are the followers.
Yeah.
So you're buying
the same race.
So you'd have three champions and there are three sets of followers.
Well, I think the thing that was talked about is the standard game.
3-on-3. And it's basically a closed system, so the champions and the followers are always what they are.
Yeah, fixed.
Yeah. So it's half, and it's hex-based.
Yeah.
So it's kind of...
No tape measures.
No tape measures, no line of sight.
There'd be a lot less widgets than anything, than any other game. Probably wouldn't be any widgets.
Funky dice. So it's like a board game, card game, like a dice game, hybrid, a bit like Shift Spire without the card.
I think you come to it choosing your faction, but I think your followers are fixed. The champion has these followers.
But also I think there are six champions and you basically there's no good evil, you just play any of them with any of them.
Yeah, exactly. Now as I mentioned this to Sherwin before, I was like, the thing is, looking at it, having a go at it, I was like, if I was playing this game, I'd want to kind of theme my faction, my side. These are hang-ups from other game systems. It just seems wrong to have orcs working with dwarves, for example.
Elves.
Yeah, or elves.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, I know that's hang-ups from other fantasy stuff. It's not in the fluff of God Tier.
No, of course not. No, and if you want... And it's probably very accessible to a board gamer. Wargamer may even not be the target market.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe it's more aimed at board gamers than war games. But it was very interesting to have an alpha game there.
Yeah.
People were hyped to play a test.
Yeah, and they changed the rules while we were playing it, drop one of the defence dice off, that kind of thing.
Yeah, changed how the feats work. It was a very interesting game. Very interesting game. And they had a lord of convention space.
Yeah.
Steamforge game, the lord. So, and they put in a lot of prize support, so hey, happy days.
Yeah, yeah.
Good to have them on board.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, let's see. I imagine there's going to be a God Tier Kickstarter at some point.
There's already been one, hasn't there?
Well, no, but that was exclusive to SteamCon attendees.
I thought the Alpha miniature run was...
Oh, okay.
I thought it was a Kickstarter.
Maybe it is. I don't know. But okay.
Anyway, so... good for them to try and get a second game running.
Yeah.
Not make the privateer press of all the eggs in one basket.
Yeah, no, exactly. And a genuine, what is it? We're calling it a war game. Yeah, a genuine war game as a second game.
I couldn't call it a war game.
You can call it a war game.
I couldn't call it a war game. It's just a board game.
So what would you call it? A board game?
Like Shit Spire. Well, Shit Spire.
So like a hybrid game?
Yeah, like a hybrid board game.
It's probably more board game
than war game, realistically.
Yeah, okay. Anyway,
I mean, there's some cards and dice and stuff,
but it's in a sense okay. It's a collectible board game because you would have different champions and you would get them and then they would try different sides out. Yeah,
yeah. It's a war game as much as Blood Bowl's a war game.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. So,
okay.
Yeah. Anyway, so and then what do we do after that? We're on Saturday now.
We're on Saturday, so we then go out.
Saturday during the day was just another day of work. So lots of people, lots of trying to be nice, lots of sirs and madams.
Yeah.
And lots of, that was it.
So then we go out to a place called the World Bar, which was a bar that did a bit of food on the side.
Yeah.
And I think that was perfect for us, really.
That's my kind of place.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was like
it took a bit of a while to get the food, but never mind. It was cheap.
It didn't take a long time to get the food. It took a long time to get somewhere to sit to order the food.
Yeah.
But the beer was relatively cheap. Now, cheap is it's not London prices, but it ain't cheap because you're in the NEC at best.
Yeah.
But the food was cheap. So the
venue was good. Atmosphere was good.
Yeah, so that was good.
And then chat was good.
So with me, you, Phil, and Dave.
Yeah, yeah.
A couple of people bailed because they were trying to go for prizes, so they had to keep playing every hour, and you couldn't be at the venue for too long.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the great things about the convention, having prizes, that people get really fucking...
Yeah, yeah.
The eyes get focused on the prizes.
Exactly.
They want the fucking prizes.
Yeah.
So keeps them playing. It's so weird that the casual players are as engaged in the event as the tournament players, just in different
ways. Which is good. Like, because I can see with BonesCon, you could turn up there as a group of friends to play each other. Maybe you don't get the chance to at home.
Yeah, yeah. We get people turn up and say, oh, I've met my brother here, and we just played all day.
Yeah.
Just me and him.
Yeah.
Because I don't get to see him that often, so it's a nice place, we just play all day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Go out for some food.
Yeah.
If you ever get the chance to do one of these kind of multi-day conventions, multi-system things, they're really different. That's all. I know where we're going. It's not it.
Open services, yeah. So we get come
back.
So
then we get back. What do we do? What do we do?
I'm pretty pissed. We come back.
I get very pissed. So what do we do?
And we played Munchkin.
Shit. Yeah, Munchkin. It's a game that I've seen a lot, but never really felt the need to play.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not sure.
I was a bit too drunk, really, to teach it.
Really?
But never mind.
But Sober Dave came later, and I learned a lot very quickly.
He helped more.
I can't remember who won. Was the film?
Oh no, no. We played.
That was that.
No. Dice Forge first.
Oh, did we?
Yeah. Dice Forge.
Okay, so Munchkin, if you haven't played it before, then it's maybe worth playing. I wasn't that convinced. But
did we do Munchkin first?
I can't remember. It wasn't
that. No, we did Munchkin first, yeah.
Okay, it wasn't that great. It was all right.
It's okay. I mean,
showing its age.
Yeah, it's showing its age a bit, yeah.
I'm telling you, I'm sure. As far as I've played it, I've got no incentive. People went mad, and you're buying boosters and blisters.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Fucking millions of expansions, but no, whatever. It's just a bit of silly fun. Right.
Yeah.
What's this? But this new game, this new fucking, let's be, wannabe androids and computer programming game.
Yeah.
What was it called?
Dice Forge.
Dice Forge.
Yeah.
So you have two dice, and all the sides are removable, and during the game you upgrade the dice,
yeah.
And it's all about resource management and collecting victory
points. It's a resource management game where you're changing how you can get the resources.
Lots of different methods of collecting resources.
Yeah, exactly. Nice game.
Very nice game. Not particularly complicated, not particularly difficult. It was weird to know. It was difficult in-game to know who was winning.
Yeah.
Because I thought I'd won, and it turned out you'd won.
Yeah.
And on the board, you had nothing.
Yeah.
It was, really weird.
Yeah,
because he went under the radar.
It's one of these games where you have a running score, but you can also... You also get resources that are traded in for scores, victory points at the end.
Yeah.
But they're not obvious how much they are.
Well, it's worse than not obvious. They're hidden.
They're hidden, yeah.
Yeah, it's just so... I thought Phil had won, but he hadn't. I'd won. I'd beaten Phil. And then you came from nowhere and you had millions.
Yeah.
It's like, Jesus. On the board, he had 30. And then you had another, 19 cards.
Yeah, and... And Barry's finished his first last turn. I was like, right, that's it, I've won clearly.
Boom. I didn't say clearly, but it was boom.
Yeah, no, you were like, oh, we don't need to do this anymore. I've won. No, no need to count it up. And I was like, Barry, can I have my last go? And they're like, what does it matter?
And you said
to me, what does it matter? You've lost. You look how little your score is.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I'm still going to do it, aren't I?
Yeah, yeah.
And then I was like, I've won. I've actually won.
Yeah, but then when you turned your cards over, I went, Jesus.
Yeah.
You had four times as many points hidden as you had on the board.
Yeah.
So which is how I'll play in future, so you never know how many cards are.
I mean, I did, the second time we tried it, on the Sunday, I did try another tactic, but I don't know if it really worked, to be honest. I mean, it's in a sense, the only thing with the game you can do to oppose each other is if your piece goes to the same place as somebody else, you're giving them another roll of their, a free roll of their dice.
Right.
So that's the only interaction with the other players.
Correct.
Aside from getting the resources
before they get the chance.
Before they get the resources.
So it's like getting the best faces for the dice.
Yeah.
Before the other people can.
Yeah. Exactly.
But yeah, there was very little interaction. I will say that about the game. There was very little interaction. It's just all basically, and there's very, it's quite, there's a lot of kind of, what would you score? What would you say, like bookkeeping?
Yeah.
So, and it requires quite a lot of honesty because you can't keep,
no.
You can barely keep track of your shit.
Yeah.
You can't be looking at other people's. They just, yeah. So.
Yeah. Exactly.
So it's a weird game, but it was enjoyable. Again, I don't really feel the need to rush out and buy it.
No, I don't think I would. No.
So, but an interesting game.
Like, because as I say, like, if you only, you know, how many board games can you own?
Well, I'm already at the point in my life where I look at something and say, will I play this before I'm gone?
Yeah, exactly.
Because I'm not a young man.
Yeah.
47. That's not old, but there's probably less life in front than behind. So, and I've got a lot of shit that I want to do already.
Yeah. But it's also, it's like, when you say you have the one night, say you were Bones gone for three, you know, you were there for one night, what is the one board game you play? Well, probably your favourite board game, isn't it?
Which I tried to find new, I was very open, I came here just to play new stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't want to play anything I already played. I wanted to play new stuff all the, yeah. I did get to play mostly new stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't win a game of anything.
Just,
well, So is that the end of Saturday?
Yes.
I was pissed, absolutely pissed.
Yeah,
pissed,
yeah.
Pissed. I don't remember getting home.
It did have we got to go at, you know, Mark 1 came round at 1 in the morning.
I don't know what time it was.
Like, and yeah, that was about 1. It said, we are now having to, you know, stop.
By 5.
Because that was quite good, because it stopped some people going crazy and staying up all night.
Everybody had to go to bed eventually.
Yeah.
So yeah, I had to go. The alarm went off. Oh, I remembered to set the alarm this time before I even went out in the evening. So I set the alarm for 7:45 before I went out.
Yeah. By the end of this Saturday night, it kind of felt like a bit, because of the way the lighting was, it's a bit dank, and like it kind of reminded me, like, everyone's like stuck on a ship somewhere, like a luxury cruiser, and everyone's drunk. Like, everyone's just like, because it's a weird environment. There's no police around here. Do what I want. Barry was like threatening to fight anyone who wasn't happy with the training.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So basically, over the weekend, there were certain times where multiple people could potentially claim some of the bigger prizes.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of the real pinch points. In fact, the second biggest pinch point.
No, the biggest pinch point.
Because it was quite refined on the side. It was 10 p.m.
On Saturday night.
So, like, at literally 10 p.m, a fucking plague
of people.
Maybe 20 people tried to redeem eight prizes.
Yep. For eight prizes.
And I was a little bit drunk and leery, and I said that if they behave themselves,
I'll fight any one of them.
I said, I'm not on duty and I'm drunk, so I'll fucking do you. But anyway, that's what happened.
That's when the staff, like, had to, like,
earn their court. Yeah, because that was a handful. But they dealt with it admirably. They made people dice off. Some people got salty.
Yeah.
Some people got what they wanted and a nice prize. I mean, this was the number of prizes at this point were very nice KR bags or Dark Souls board game, which is, like, retail at £100.
Yeah, yeah.
So there were 8 really, really big prizes and 20 people. So
yeah.
You can't split them.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, that was good, though. I enjoyed that bit. I took a photo of that. The madness at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, I took a photo of it as well.
Sunday, today?
Yeah, today.
Oh, we get breakfast every day. Breakfast is nice enough in these kind of places.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's the good thing here. Obviously, I enjoyed the gym facilities, but the breakfast was really good as well.
Yeah, yeah. I could do with a bit more time, because I was always a bit rushed with breakfast.
Yeah. Because we sat down this morning to have a random, like, chat with this, what was he, Swedish guy?
Glenn. He's volunteered for us in the past. He wasn't ever a press ganger,
right,
but he's helped out when we were short.
Yeah.
So I knew him, but I couldn't remember his name because I'm shit with that. But nice guy, Swedish guy, lives in the West Midlands.
Yeah, yeah.
Likes his Infinity.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah, it's nice to talk to him over breakfast. And then I was back to work for the main event. So we where are we? We need to be Cambridge Services. So the main event this morning was at 11 o'clock.
we gave away a £300 bag.
Yeah.
And there were only three people still in it at this point.
Still in it, yeah, yeah.
Because everybody else chipped out earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
In fact, there was a fourth person, but he couldn't be asked being there on time.
Yeah.
So there were three people.
Yeah.
We agreed that we would roll two dice, and the winner would take the bag, and the other two would just have to take what was left, which wasn't a lot. And nobody wanted to go first. Everyone was trying to say, oh, I'll go last. So this Liverpudlian guy said, oh, I'll go first. He picked up the dice, threw them, like, just nonchalantly.
Yep.
Two dice, bang, double six.
Five. Double six. It was for good TV. He was like...
It was like, boom!
Boom!
And the other two were like, their face was wrong.
Now we are in shit street. Yeah,
the best I could do is a 3% chance to make us roll again. That's it.
Yeah. Is it? Is that what it is?
3%, yeah. 1 in 36.
Yeah, 1 in 36, yeah.
So less than 3%. So anyway, they obviously, well, I think we're one round of 10, one round of 7 or something, and the guy took his bag away.
But
just fantastic TV.
Yeah.
All this build up, and then boom, it's over.
That's it, it's done. Yeah.
One punch, bang.
Yeah.
And from that point on, the hard work was done, because now all the price support that's meaningful's gone.
Yep.
And then we can just burn out the stock. It's cheap as chips. So I mean, stuff was like, we were giving away stuff that earlier in the convention we were charging 20 points or 20 hours work for, and basically at the end we were just saying a point.
Yeah.
Point and take it.
Yeah.
People were taking like boxes full of stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, knock it out, mate.
Yeah,
we're not taking it home, so it's here to go.
Yeah, the car is significantly lighter than it was on the way up.
That's true. So, it was a fantastic day today because it's the last day of the convention. It always feels nice to be driving home. Going to get some food. I'm going to see my kids, maybe, not tonight.
Yeah, I had a new concept, because this is probably the longest I've been away from my young family. I really missed them. Because people always tell me, oh, I miss my family, it's hard. And it's like, yeah, whatever.
You're just saying that.
Like, and generally, I really miss my daughter. It's like, and Barry's telling
Hannah.
Barry's telling me there's some pseudoscience because
it's not pseudoscience, it's called pheromones. So.
Yeah. Like, I had a phone call from them and she giggled at me down the phone and I was like, my heart was breaking.
Yeah.
You know? I was like, oh my god, this is what it's like. Yeah. You know?
I love the fact that humans believe they're in control of their bodies and minds when most of the time they really aren't. They really aren't. They can try and keep things under control most of the time.
Yeah. I did one thing I did on Sunday, because it's mostly a day of feeling hungover and waiting for Barry to take me home. But
it was a long way. Yeah.
But I played with Sherwin, Phil, and Dave a doubles game of Guild Ball.
This sounds shit.
Oh well, no! It was more fun.
Yeah, it was more fun than it. Okay, you explain it, but it really isn't my cup of tea, I don't think.
So what we did was, so we could play some more singles games, or we could try this doubles format. You know, like, and so what we did is we made sure we were all using a team, players we weren't familiar with. So it was...
Right, okay.
Yeah, so we're, like, I was on a Mortician's with Sherwin, and they were using a Blacksmith's team they're not familiar with.
Because it's only sporting.
Yeah. So, and then one player would allocate the influence.
Yeah.
You know, and then the other player would have to play it for that turn.
Right.
But you couldn't talk about the game state. So they would allocate the influence, and the other one had to kind of guess and work out what they're being allocated it for.
Right, by their teammates.
And we stuck to it. We did not break, you know, voice procedure with it. We just chatted about other things while it was going along. And it was quite nice because two of you could play in it and like fade back and eat lunch or something while the other two are taking that turn.
Because normally the influence phase is very quick.
Yeah.
Like 30 seconds a minute.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's your turn done now for like 20 minutes.
Well, I mean, so it was hilarious. And it was a back and forth game. I mean, totally unmanaged like plays and unsynergized plays, like it's like oh my
numbos.
God. Yeah,
numbos.
It's like really like oh my god. This, and the game was going on a while because in Guild Ball, like when you're good at it, you get a lot quicker at like scoring goals and how doing your takeouts and stuff. None of that was happening because it was all over the place.
I did the sound of music.
Yeah, it was. I gave
I allocated some influence for Sherwin to pull off a few tricks, which he mostly worked out, like all worked out tricks.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. I thought one person just did the influence all game.
No, that would be boring. But yes, like, swapping over. Like, then next time it's the other one who.
Oh, that makes more sense.
That was good. I mean, it just takes a long time to play it. But I completely messed up at the end. So, like, we're behind. We'd lost the captain. It's 11-8 to them. And I was like, oh, I can pull out a pass out of here and pull out a potential score. Because I'd shut out the... I'd done a move that dictates who moves next on their other team. And everyone was like, he's going to do it. He's going to pull the win out. And then I had two. I could have gone for the score. Oh, I thought, oh, I better move the other player first. I don't know why I did, but I realised that they could take out our mascot again for that single point. I didn't realise it.
Oh.
And so I literally did all the hard stuff. And aside from the walk-in goal, I took another activation, a different one, which resulted in us losing the game. So Sherwin declared that he hadn't lost the game. I had lost the game for it alone.
Yep.
And that was that.
All you. You.
But yeah, I messed up.
I was trying to play Shit Spire all weekend. But the rule was I was only going to look at it if nobody ever played with or talked about the Singmarines.
Yeah.
I was really happy that nobody was interested in Sigmarines.
Yeah, yeah.
Apart from John Webb.
Yeah.
Who apparently is all about the fucking Sigmarines. But it was really good because nobody wanted to touch them. Nobody wanted to play with them. No one wanted to play against them.
Yeah.
So let's get rid of that crap and play a game as it should be.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was nice. I might even give it a little tinkle now.
Yeah, yeah. How were you going to play it? Like, were you going to, like, was someone demoing it?
Well, that was the plan, but it kind of worked. Kept expanding today. We never really got enough time to do it.
At these conventions, it's like herding cats. Everything.
Yeah.
That's to organise play. That is kind of like the reward. Is that you know you're going to get four games,
yes.
And those are not highlighted quality games.
Yes.
You know, but the problem is like they go on too long, and if you want to go out for dinner with your friends, it just doesn't fit in with doing an event.
No.
It doesn't. So, but the point of this convention was, with all its games, and literally you could do anything you wanted with the table, the free play space.
Yeah,
like I played Warmaster.
People were painting, building miniatures,
yeah.
Whatever you want to
do.
It's like and there's no discrimination. It's not like you've got to be playing game X to earn the points.
Yeah.
Anybody can earn points for doing anything.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
As long as you're doing it, you know, in the convention.
So in that format, it was really good. Yeah.
I don't think I played any other games. I think that's what you did.
No, I think it was you. Yeah. So then we just packed it down and are driving home. So to overall, Barry, what would you think about Bonescore?
I can't say it was the best event we've ever done, but the pit
What was the best event?
Oh jeez, it was like probably the one in the Madison Blue Heathrow with
Madison Blue,
with the. Where we actually had exclusive video footage
and
model releases and like VIPs.
Yeah. Actually, okay,
450 players.
Yeah, I'll give you that. That was very good, yeah.
Although the prize pool and stuff was a lot smaller.
Yeah, yeah.
The hype around the event was very, very big.
I was at that one, and the video they showed was really, like, that was a great atmosphere at the time.
Oh, people going fucking nuts.
Yeah, yeah.
And there were hundreds and hundreds of people in the hall stuff, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's multi-system. What's
funny about that is they in the video they released the first footage of the Desert Hydra scored model.
Scored Colossal.
Yeah, Scored Colossal.
Or whatever.
When did that ever come out?
It's been out.
Is it out now?
Yeah, yeah. But I think they've just had some issues kind of replicating the prototype, which is a really weird thing. You think, I've seen it. But yeah, but that's not it. That's just like a model that we Jimmy rigged up to show you what it's going to look like.
I mean, I've never seen anyone use it. Like, is it even in the game?
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
But is it something you can buy?
Yeah, for sure.
Right.
but I'm not sure it looks anything like the model we saw that night.
Oh, I see. Right, okay. Because I've never seen anyone use it. But then again, there's barely any Scorn players anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. But no, I mean, we still had a couple of Masters, and we still had a few other events. We still had, like, what do we call that group? Like, casual play for 128 players.
Yeah, yeah.
Just War Machine, and then 128 Steam Forged, and 128 random. And one of my highlights of the week was, do you know what the game for the casual players was called? The really casual, random players.
No.
The butterfly room.
The butterfly room, yeah.
Because they just flit around between different games. Yeah. Just flitting around, butterflying. Because everybody knows people like Rid who just they can't say no to a new game.
Can't do that.
He's had every game under the bloody sun, that man.
Yep.
Everything. If you've heard of it, he's had it. The butterfly room is brilliant. Brilliant.
But yeah, anything else, like in retrospect, overall, like
was fine. I think there were one thing was there were a lot of new players.
Yeah.
So a lot of new players to the convention, which means the convention's still growing.
Cause
you're getting people who this is their first convention, and not a trivial amount of them. And a lot of those casual players would have got way more stuff than they ever imagined they'd be getting.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so a lot of people will be saying, Jesus, look at how much stuff I got for free just for going to this event and playing games.
Yeah.
And that's how you grow. That's why we'll do it again next year, because we did it on about a sixth of the staff that we had in previous years. So we went from, like, say, 40 staff to 6 plus 2 overlords that they're overlording.
Yeah.
They don't get their hands dirty too much. So it was good. Tired. Don't want to do another one for a long time.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why I only do one a year. I can't be arsed with it. So we'll probably wind up the Bones Cabona Con section.
Well, you've got to ask me what I think.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, what, Paul, what do you think, mate?
I don't
really care. But the listeners, oh shit, I forgot the most important bit of the whole fucking thing.
What?
And I can't talk about it properly, because anybody that ever listens to this or knows me knows I cannot fucking remember names. So I was recognised at the event from my voice as Barry from the Warmaster podcast.
I wasn't there at the time.
No. I said, Paul's here, but he's not here, because he's here doing something somewhere else. So I was recognised that this is the first time it's ever happened to me in any way, shape or form ever for anything ever.
How did that feel?
I shook his hand and said thank you, and like, hope you have a nice event, and sorry, I'll forget your name. And I did. His name, it's like a form of dementia. But I've never been recognised before, so I'm just on voice.
Yeah.
Must be distinctive.
It must be like, would he like, this guy has a moment of realisation on his face. It's like, hang on.
He played it very, very
low key.
He was with his lady and he played it nicely.
Yeah. Are you Barry from Warmaster Podcast?
Jeez.
Yeah. I was like, I am. Am I in trouble?
What have I done?
Yeah.
Are you from KR Multi Case wanting to sue us? A breach of contract?
Yeah.
No. All right. So, what was your highlights and what's your feedback?
What would I say? Like, I like the multi-system format. I like the open play area. Obviously, that's good. But I do think that it needs, like, if you turned up there, like, oh, I'm after a casual game of something, something, something. Like, it needs someone to organise it for you in terms of, yeah, you go there and they organise the game for you, and someone to play. Yeah. Okay. That's
what?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can bring your own shit.
Yeah.
And you're more likely to get a game of whatever it is you want to play there than anywhere else in the world.
Of course, yeah.
And also, each system has their own champion, so they run their own events.
Yeah, yeah.
So if Paul wanted to run Warmaster,
which I think I would do.
Okay, well then you're welcome to.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's the thing. It's like where you were cashing in your prizes, your stamps, you should have, like, almost like something to show that you're after a game, but it could be any game, though. Of course, that's the problem.
That is the big problem. Yeah. It used to be we had these looking for game wristbands,
because when it was a single system, that was easy.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
it's way easier to find if somebody looking for a game for when you've got like 400 players.
Yeah,
playing that game.
Yeah, yeah.
But when you've got 400 players and they're playing 300 different fucking games, it's much harder.
And when you're rewarding the open play, because you're rewarding the cash ins to playing new people and different factions, wasn't it?
Yeah, back then, there's all kinds of madness, spreadsheets and bookkeeping.
Like, you need to play a convergence player,
Yes, from Finland. Fully painted in a theme force.
Exactly.
Madness. So would you do it again? Would you go again?
So this is the first time I've been to a convention as a staff member. So I think that talking to Mark One, I think that you could always be better organised, and you need to be a bit more organised. But there is, I'm encouraged that hopefully it won't be the last, it will run again.
Yeah, well, it's built on trust, so John, the guy that runs it, he has to know that a few people he can just make decisions and not worry about it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
don't stress about the little things. If Barry says this, just fucking do it.
Or exactly.
Whatever.
That's a way to do it. But if I was going to attend again, so say I'm asked to do the same thing. Say I'm asked
Which is what you'd be asked.
Yeah, for BonesCon 19, get prize support. Well, I would also want to run a small War Master event at it. You know, 8 players, 3 games.
Love it.
Breakfast, lunch, and then lunch and afternoon. And then you're free to have dinner.
Well, you can take it next level and maybe have a tournament game one day and do some campaigny big game the next day.
I guess so. That's what I would do. I was like, okay, so on the Saturday, I'd run a 8 person War Master event. Keep it try small to begin with, because I would want to go out in the evening, and I would I want it done before then, which 3 games would do it.
Yep.
And 8 tickets only. And that's what it is.
You'll be more than welcome to do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because 8 players will get 1 winner.
Three rounds.
Four winners, 2 winners, 1 winner. Overall, it was better than I thought it was going to be honest.
Seeing behind the curtain's not ideal, though.
But seeing behind the curtain was not. Oh my god, it's.
It's a ragtag thing running for a convention. There's
it really is.
On the hall.
It really is,
Most punters don't see it, so that's good.
Yeah, well, they don't. Yeah, but then again, that's no different to anything I've ever done in the army. That's no different to anything I've ever done in the NHS.
It's everything's by skin of your nose.
When you peer through the curtain, you realise how piss poorly organised it is. But never mind.
You didn't, it was just all about just getting it done. Make it happen, get it done.
Exactly.
So, good. So that was that episode.
Yes.
Would you like to know more?